Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1185. Harvest Time, Part 4. The Oswald Institute of Virology, Part 4. This is being recorded on May 6th of the year 2021. Three quick notes at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post, there are three links. One of those links will enable you to subscribe to the comments that are made, most of them by our expert contributing editor, Tara Fractal, and some also by other knowledgeable and substantive listeners. Again, a link at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought broadcast will enable you to subscribe to those comments. In addition to that, there is a link, again, at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought broadcast that, a post, I should say, that will enable you to subscribe to the podcast that is being made by sister station WFMU. If podcasting is the best way for you to consume the For the Record broadcasts, then there is a link again at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post for you to click on to subscribe to the podcast. And lastly, at the top of, again, each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post, there is a link to click on to get the 32-gigabyte flash drive with all of my life's work on it, plus a library of old anti-fascist books available for download for free. Again, I get no money whatsoever from that, and there is a link at the top of each program description and each Food for Thought post to click on to get that flash drive. Now, the title for this series again alludes to harvesting political crop that has risen from seeds planted before, during, and particularly during the last stages of, and after, immediately after, in most cases, World War II. Those unsavory seeds have led to highly unsavory crops that have now been harvested and are being consumed with deadly effect. The Oswald Institute of Virology is my wry reference to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which I believe was set up to take the fall for the creation of the SARS-CoV-2 virus in a fashion not unlike the way Lee Harvey Oswald was painted red, made out to be a communist, then framed for President Kennedy's assassination and killed before he could defend himself. This program will deliberately be overlapped and will have elements of repetition from the other programs in this series. I apologize if that bothers some people, but given the frankly devastating nature of the information we're presenting and the difficulty I think that the average person may have simply wrapping their mind around something this horrible, I think, warrants just that. Repeating very briefly, and this is fundamental to understand what can be done these days, excerpting an article from The Guardian of June 19th of 2018 by Ian Sample, S-A-M-P-L-E, synthetic biology raises risk of new bioweapons, U.S. report warns. The rapid rise of synthetic biology, a futuristic field of science that seeks to master the machinery of life, has raised the risk of a new generation of bioweapons, according to a major U.S. report, into the state of the art. Advances in the area mean that scientists now have the capability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch, make harmful bacteria more deadly, and modify common microbes so that they turn out lethal toxins once they enter the body. Skipping down. In the report, the scientists describe how synthetic biology, which gives researchers precision tools to manipulate living organisms, quote, enhances and expands, unquote, opportunities to create bioweapons. And skipping down again, the Imperiali, referred to as Michael Imperiali, who headed up the committee that produced this report, and who is a professor of microbiology and immunology at the University of Michigan. Today, the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. Quote, "The technology to do this is available now," unquote, said Imperiali. "It requires some expertise, but it is something that is relatively easy to do, and that is why it tops the list." The point being, once the genome of a particular virus is online, it can be synthesized from scratch by a knowledgeable authority using contemporary technology. That was as of 2018. And do note that one of the major focal points of these programs in this series is how a great many programs at the Wuhan Institute of Virology and also elsewhere were being financed either directly by the Pentagon or by Pentagon cutouts. And this in order to produce research into bat-borne coronaviruses, primarily in China. Then, once that research has reached a certain point, a report is published, and then you've got the genome for these mammalian, bat-borne coronaviruses in China, and then they can either be synthesized and or mutated from scratch. A cover story in New York Magazine of January 4th of this year, 2021, by Nicholson Baker, does talk about the, quote, lab leak hypothesis, unquote. However, it discounts that this might have been done deliberately. Also, the research does not mention the Pentagon and USAID funding of Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance. And it generally discounts the notion that this could have been deliberate. Nonetheless, I think this is an important article because at the very end, there is an important element of substance pointing out that the virus, once the genome has been published, and there was a whole lot of research into these types of viruses, and Xizheng Li of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, under an EcoHealth Alliance project with the USAID's PREEMPT project, published along with Ralph Barich of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, a paper involved the deliberate mutating of a bat-borne coronavirus to make it more infective to human air tissue. From the cover story from New York Magazine, January 4th of 2021, the lab leak hypothesis, for decades, scientists have been hotwiring viruses in hopes of preventing a pandemic, not causing one. But what if? And again, it assumes that this is accidental. I suspect it was deliberate. SARS-CoV-2 seems almost perfectly calibrated to grab and ransack our breathing cells and choke the life out of them. Quote, "By the time SARS-CoV-2 was first detected in late 2019, it was already pre-adapted to human transmission," unquote, Alina Tran and her co-authors have written, "whereas SARS, when it first appeared in 2003, underwent numerous adapted mutations," unquote, before settling down. Perhaps viral nature hit a bullseye of airborne infectivity with almost no mutational drift, no period of accommodation and adjustment, or perhaps some lab worker somewhere, inspired by Barich's work with human airway tissue, took a spike protein that was specially groomed to colonize and thrive deep in the ciliated mucosal tunnels of our inner core and cloned it onto some existing viral bat backbone. It could have happened in Wuhan, but because anyone can now, quote, print out, unquote, a fully infectious clone of any sequenced disease, it could also have happened in Fort Detrick or in Texas or in Italy or in Rotterdam or in Wisconsin or in some other citadel of coronaviral inquiry. Well, indeed, and again, in the series of shows we've been doing, and also in For the Records 1157, 58, 59, and For the Record 1170, as well as 1183 and 1184, we have been looking extensively at Pentagon funding of bat-borne coronavirus research in and around China, and specifically through the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which has had a relationship with the USAMRIIB at Fort Detrick for quite some time, either directly through DTRA or through the EcoHealth Alliance, which is mostly funded by the Pentagon and a State Department subsidiary, USAID, which is often the cover for some of the most insidious CIA covert operations. These programs, again, many of them in Wuhan Institute of Virology or through it, and elsewhere in and around China, are researching bat-borne coronaviruses. And in the Alexis Bodden-Mayer paper that we are going to resume reading, there is a passage in which the devastating nature of bat-borne viruses when in the human body is well, basically, it's stated, and we are going to recap it. We've talked about it in our last two shows. Now, again, the Pentagon and USAID funding of research in and around China, the WIV, the what I call the Oswald Institute of Virology in particular, to research bat-borne coronaviruses and then yield papers. Once published and once with the genome in the public realm, the virus can be synthesized or mutated from scratch. In the New York Magazine article, you heard a quote from Alina Chan. We've noted that she accessed not only public databases through WIV, but also emails, which indicate not only the fact that the genomes of these organisms were on the public record, they were part of an open database, but also that the emails were not encrypted in any way, indicating in all probability that this was research not undertaken for the purpose of biological warfare at the Chinese. And as we will see, I suspect at some point they realized that they had gotten stung and that they were under attack. And at that point, in late January of 2020, about 2 weeks after the genome of the SARS-CoV-2 was published, the People's Liberation Army took over the BSL-4 lab at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So again, against the background of the full court press against China, and we will review some of that either later in this program or in our next show, with a covert operation underway in Hong Kong leading to the unrest there, and with another one in Xinjiang province there, including the outright fictionalization of news coverage of the Uyghurs and Xinjiang province, a very, very successful concocting of information in that regard. We're seeing the Pentagon financing research into bat-borne coronaviruses at WIV and in China in general at the same time as covert operations are being waged against China, at the same time as a trade war is being waged against China, at the same time as the Pentagon is switching from the war on terror, quote-unquote, to the great power rivalry with China and Russia that it is touting. Again, that they would be investing so heavily in Chinese bat-borne coronavirus research through WIV and elsewhere in and around China is interesting, particularly in light of the fact that that research will produce the publication of the genomes, which basically, with contemporary technology, would be the equivalent of stocking a magazine, a weapons facility, with biological warfare ammunition of weaponized coronaviruses, bat-borne coronaviruses. We are going to return to an article that we were reading at the conclusion of our last program, deliberately overlapping the material with what we looked at there. Now, again, in the material that we've looked at, in For the Record 1157, 58, and 59, and of 1170, as well as 1183 and 1184, again, note the Pentagon funding, either directly through organizations like DTRA or through cutouts like the EcoHealth Alliance and also the USAID funding of the same. Again, Look who, it's a textbook case of following the money. Look who is financing the research, which will then yield to publication, which will then place the genomes of those viruses in the public realm where they can be synthesized and or modified from scratch for biological warfare purposes. Following article is Xi Sheng Li, weaponizing coronaviruses with Pentagon funding at a Chinese military lab, by Alexis Baden Mayer from the Organic Consumers Association of September 24th of 2020. And in this particular article, there is discussion of the research into a search of a cave in Kunming, China, that was apparently financed by the Eco-Health Alliance, again, a Pentagon cutout, one of Peter Bashek's close advisors in Eco-Health Alliance is none other than Daniel Franz, the former commander of Fort Beatrix. Actually, maybe David Franz. I believe it is David Franz, of former commander of Fort Beatrix. Anyway, F-R-A-N-Z is his last name. Now, again, note who is funding the research into these SARS-like coronaviruses. In addition to funding from China and Australia, the Kunming virus hunt reported in, quote, isolation and characterization of a bat SARS-like coronavirus that uses the ACE2 receptor, one of Xi Zhengli's papers, and published with Peter Bashek, was supported by National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, or NIAID, award, and it gives the award number, $2.6 million grant to EcoHealth Alliance for, quote, risk of viral emergence from bats, unquote. NIH and National Science Foundation, Ecology and Evolution of Infectious Diseases, unquote, $3.7 million award from the NIH Fogarty International Center to EcoHealth Alliance, again, same front, for, quote, the ecology emergence and pandemic potential of Nipah virus in Bangladesh. A $300,000 award from the NIH Fogarty International Center, supported by international influenza funds from the Office of the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services to EcoHealth Alliance for, quote, comparative spillover dynamics of avian influenza in endemic countries, unquote. And last, United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, emerging pandemic threats predict amount unknown. Again, USAID, a State Department subsidiary organization and a major front for various covert operations. And it is worth and again, but Peter Bashek was the co-publisher with Xi Zhengli of that paper. And note how much of the research project, how many of the research projects that yielded, among others, that paper were financed by EcoHealth Alliance, primarily funded by Pentagon and USAID. And one of Peter Bashek's top advisors, Mr. Franz, the former commander of Fort Beatrix. Now, still more about the funding of Xi Zhengli's work. Who funded Xi's virus hunting in Mojiang? Xi's paper, Coexistence of Multiple Coronaviruses in Several Bat Colonies in an Abandoned Mineshaft, unquote, was written by a team of scientists who were all Chinese nationals working at Chinese institutions. Nevertheless, in addition to funding from the Chinese government, the authors acknowledged support from the U.S. National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Disease, a $3.7 million grant to EcoHealth Alliance for, quote, understanding the risk of bat coronavirus emergence, unquote. Once again, EcoHealth Alliance, basically a funding front for Pentagon and USAID. Its head, Peter Bashek, advised by the former commander of Fort Beatrix. And now talking about Xi's Pentagon funding directly. Xi's Pentagon fund, that's Xi Zhengli. Xi Zhengli and her collaborators are also funded by the U.S. military. Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance currently receives more money from the Department of Defense's Defense Threat Reduction Agency for scientific research combating weapons of mass destruction than any other military contractor, $15 million or 25.57% of the $60.2 million dispersed in the last 6 months. And next is review of what makes bat-borne viruses so deadly in human beings. And again, bat-borne coronaviruses in particular in China and through the WIV, major focal points of Pentagon funding for the research. Once the research is conducted, the genomes are on the public domain, and then they can be synthesized and or modified from scratch and used for biological warfare purposes. And obviously, the chief suspect, at least as we've seen, is ostensibly China, although we're seeing a double track, I think. And one, they're saying, nope, it's just a naturally occurring virus, but the subtext is maybe the Chinese were doing it. It is not unlike what we have seen with the JFK assassination, where the main argument is, well, Lee Harvey Oswald was a nut, but there continue to be stories being deliberately floated. Well, maybe he was really working for the communists. Former CIA Director James Woolsey is either about to or has just published a book based on information from a recently deceased Romanian collaborator that says, yep, Lee Harvey Oswald was being recruited by the Russians to kill Kennedy, which is simply nonsense, as we've looked at in many shows. The landmark series of interviews with Jim DiGenio, the author of Destiny Betrayed, goes into that, as do For the Record 925 and 926, among other programs. That is to say, the painting of Oswald Red. Now, about what makes bat-borne coronaviruses so deadly when in human beings. A Google Scholar search produced two papers she has published that list DTRA, that is the Department of Defense's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, as a funder. To see how the first paper, Comparative Analysis of Bat Genomes, provides insight into the evolution of flight and immunity, is relevant to biological weaponry, it helps to understand the military's interest in bat immunity. By the way, the Thomas Kepler, a BU, that is Boston University microbiologist, quoted here, probably works at the BSL-4 laboratory at Boston University, which in addition to being for legitimate scientific purposes is also accessed on a contract basis by both the Pentagon and the CIA. Resuming with the Alexis Bodden-Mayer paper. As Boston University microbiologist Thomas Kepler explained to the Washington Post in 2018, the bat's unique approach to viral infection explains why viruses that transfer from bats to humans are so severe. This was the subject of a paper, quote, "The Egyptian Rosette Genome Reveals Unexpected Features of Bat Antiviral Immunity," unquote, that Kepler published with military scientists and DTRA funding. A virus that has co-evolved with the bat's antiviral system is completely out of the, beginning again. A virus that has co-evolved with the bat's antiviral system is completely out of its element in the human, unquote, Kepler said, writing again in a Pentagon-funded paper. That's why it is so deadly. The human immune system is overwhelmed by the inflammatory response, unquote. The bat immune system responds very differently from ours to viral infection. Instead of attacking and killing an infected cell, which leads to a cascade of inflammatory responses, the bat immune system can starve the virus by turning down cellular metabolism. The bat origin of SARS-CoV-2 may explain the cytokine storms that are hastening some COVID-19 deaths. According to WebMD, quote, certain kinds of cytokines trigger cell death. When you have many cells doing this at the same time, a lot of tissue can die. In COVID-19, that tissue is mostly in the lung. As the tissue breaks down, the walls of the lung's tiny air sacs become leaky and fill with fluid, causing pneumonia and starving the blood of oxygen, unquote. And after discussing the military using experiments on bad immunity to develop drugs that tampen down inflation, the author goes on to say, it clearly has another objective as well, to make viruses more deadly by passaging them, unquote, through bats. What she doesn't mention is that the once the genome of the bat-borne virus is published, that virus can be recreated from scratch and or mutated from scratch. And again, Jonathan King of the NIH, in a book from 1988 called Gene Wars, co-authored by Charles Piller and Keith Yamamoto, warned back in 1988 that a lot of offensive biological warfare research was being engaged in by the Pentagon, but disguised as, quote, defensive, unquote, by masking it as vaccine research. Alexis Bodden-Mayer goes on to write in this article, without stricter enforcement of the Biological Weapons Convention, it is impossible to prevent so-called, quote, defensive, unquote, programs from producing biological weapons, especially considering the stealth and plausible deniability with which biological weapons can be used and how vulnerable labs are to accidents, unquote, and, quote, missing agents, unquote. And again, she does not mention that once the virus genome is published and in the public, on the public record, then it can be synthesized from scratch. The regulatory challenges associated with trying to prevent defensive biological weapons research from being used offensively were highlighted recently in India's reaction to Xi's other DTRA-funded paper, Filovirus Reactive Antibodies in Humans and Bats in Northeast India Implies Zoonotic Spillover, unquote, published in 2019. The study alarmed the public by finding, quote, the presence of filovirus, e.g. Ebola virus, Marburg virus, and Dionylovirus reactive antibodies in both humans, e.g. bat hunters, and bat populations in northeast India, a region with no historical record of Ebola virus disease. The Hindu magazine reported that foreign entities operating the study should have been required to seek special permission to access live samples of bats and human bat hunters, but they did not do so. The Indian Council of Medical Research created a 5-member committee to investigate. And note the following. In addition to military funding through DTRA, Xi's paper was co-authored by 2 U.S. military scientists, Christopher C. Broder and Eric D. Lang, L-A-I-N-G, of the Uniformed Services University of Health Sciences, Department of Microbiology and Immunology. Now, well, it was about on January 12th of 2020 that the genome of the SARS-CoV-2 was published. Look what happened 2 weeks later. The Wuhan Institute of Virology is China's only biosafety level 4 lab. Although it has always been under the control of the Chinese government, since January 26th of 2020, it has been under the command of the People's Liberation Army, specifically its top biological weapons specialist, a major general named Chen Wei. That's capital C-H-E-N, capital W-E-I. In the paper that we just finished reading, and in other articles, some inconsistencies between information that has come to light, in particular on the RATG, something like 013 bat coronavirus, and some of the other biological samples taken from the miners in the Kunming mine, two of whom passed away. There are inconsistencies in public statements both by Xi Jingli and also by Peter Daszak. I suspect that one of the things that was taking place, and note that the accessing of information by Alina Chan, which I believe was done in good faith, was from a public database of the WIV, and emails in which Dr. Xi Zhengli talked about accessing the bat genome were on the public record. This suggests But this was not a weapons development program, but rather one that was, I think, somewhat naively undertaken by the Chinese. I think China made the same mistake as, well, both the former Soviet Union and Russia made. The former Soviet Union under Gorbachev worked out an agreement whereby they would withdraw their forces from Germany and Eastern Europe, and that NATO would not move its forces up to the Soviet border. NATO did just that. Then later, Russia, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Vladimir Putin worked very closely with the U.S. at one point, actually talking about Russia joining NATO. He was very supportive of the U.S. effort in their war in Afghanistan, provided a number of different aspects of logistical support, and yet ultimately he got zapped, and now there is this disinformation about, quote, bounties, unquote, against U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. It's just simply that that dog won't hunt. And, you know, it is not, I think China made a similar error. They trusted the U.S. and they noted and welcomed, probably given the superior U.S. research establishment vis-a-vis BSL-4 laboratories and biological research requiring the maximum security. The U.S. has 12 BSL-4 labs. China only had one. And they were very proud of being able to open that one laboratory. I suspect that the Chinese basically made the same mistake that the Soviet Union and Russia made. Indeed, hell, I made the same mistake for the many decades of research. I was sort of hoping to alert Americans to the threat of fascism, and I don't think they don't really care, and B, it took place a long time ago, but I was still reacting to the America that I thought existed, and really that never really existed at all. I've concluded that for decades of working in that regard, so this is not to be judgmental. But again, I think China was stung. I don't think they realized what the U.S. had in mind, and I believe that the WIV was set up just as Lee Harvey Oswald was set up as well. Again, note that with covert operations underway in Hong Kong, we've talked about that in, among other shows, For the Record, 1089, 1090, and 1091, with the destabilization of China ongoing in Xinjiang province. We talked about that in numerous programs, including For the Record, 1178, 1179, and 1180. Or maybe, was it 1180? Yeah, it was 1178, 79, and 80. And also in another series, I believe it was 1145, 46, and 47. Maybe it's 46. 47 and 48, we've done a lot of shows recently about the Uyghurs and the destabilization effort underway in Xinjiang province. That and the trade wars against China, the U.S., openly working to develop coalitions to oppose China, sets a context in which the massive funding of research into bat-borne coronaviruses through the Wuhan Institute of Virology and elsewhere in and around China must, I think the context for that research has to be constructed from the covert ops in Hong Kong, from the covert op in Xinjiang province, from the trade war, from the full court press against China, the attempts at recruiting foreign allies in an anti-China coalition, all of that Pentagon funding of coronavirus research in through the WIV and elsewhere in China, it must be seen in the context of the full court press against China. And again, if you want to decouple the largest economy in the world from the global economy, one way to do it, or one tool in doing it, is to alienate the world in a fundamental way from China. And we are already seeing sort of a two-track portrayal of the coronavirus. You've got Peter Daszak and the mainstream media, most of them basically saying, yep, it was just a natural mutation. But there is also another theme being floated not only by the right wing and interests like Steve Bannon and the Fox News, but also by people like Josh Rogan, who writes for Politico and the Washington Post and others, suggesting, yep, the Chinese were researching biological warfare weapons and one of these viruses escaped from the laboratory. Again, once the research has been financed and brought to fruition, once the papers have been published, and once the genome is on the public record, then the virus can be synthesized and or mutated from scratch. In a number of programs, we have looked at the military world games in Wuhan, which took place in October of 2019, the same day, by the way, that event 201 took place in New York City. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. A number of the contingents, the athletic contingents at the military world games, which is something like a military Olympics, the top athletes in the uniformed armed services of various countries compete against one another. I have noted in the past that vectoring such a contingent would be an excellent way of delivering any sort of biological weapon, particularly something like SARS-CoV-2, because the military athletes in these contingents are basically arguably about as fit and healthy as any people on earth. They are not only in the military, they are not only athletes, but they have top medical care as well. So if what you want to do is to vector a number of different areas, then infecting those athletes would be a very good way to do it. And I suspect that a number of the contingents, including the U.S. contingent at the Military World Games, were deliberately vectored, very possibly by public affairs officers, unquote, a common cover for CIA personnel, or perhaps from the Wuhan branch of the Shincheonji cult from Korea that has been linked to the outbreak in South Korea and that has operational and doctrinal overlap with the Unification Church. It would be, one of the things about biological warfare is that it does not require a lot of people to pull something off. You can synthesize something, but with a relatively small number of personnel, and you can distribute it as well with a relatively small number of personnel. I think there were multiple vectors for the COVID-19 op, but I think the contingents of military athletes, again, superbly conditioned individuals, very healthy with strong immune systems, I suspect was one of the vectors. And there will be links in the written description for this show to some of the articles and programs where we talk about that. Indeed, the U.S. contingent from the Military World Games has been linked by writers and observers to aspects of the outbreak in the U.S. Now, noting that on January 26th of 2020, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, or the Oswald Institute of Virology, as I call it, was placed under the stewardship of the People's Liberation Army. This about 2 weeks after the genome of the SARS-CoV-2 was published. I suspect that belatedly China realized that they were under a biological warfare attack, a covert operations constellation, including the Hong Kong, quote, pro-democracy op, and the Xinjiang op as well. And I suspect that some of the inconsistencies in public statements and papers published after that point in time, including by Xi Zhengli in early February 2020, are due to the fact that at that point, something like military security was being imposed, albeit rather belatedly, because the barn door was being closed long after the horse was gone. I suspect that the PLA, People's Liberation Army takeover of that laboratory, was in response to the awareness that China was in fact under attack. There was some discussion of that in an article by Pepe Escobar, E-S-C-O-B-A-R, in the Asia Times, a respected Hong Kong English language daily, Hong Kong-based. It was published in Consortium News on March 18th of 2020. It says, China locked in hybrid war with U.S. And a couple of excerpts, we've talked about this in other shows. For the first time since the start of Deng Xiaoping's reforms in 1978, Beijing openly regards the U.S. as a threat, as stated a month ago by Foreign Minister Wang Yi at the Munich Security Conference during the peak of the fight against coronavirus. And then an interesting analysis of a statement by President Xi Jinping. Quote, Beijing is carefully, incrementally shaping the narrative that from the beginning of the coronavirus attack, the leadership knew it was under a hybrid war attack. The terminology of President Xi Jinping is a major clue. He said on the record that this was war and as a counterattack, a quote, people's war, unquote, had to be launched. Moreover, he described the virus as a demon or devil. Xi is a Confucianist. Unlike some other ancient Chinese thinkers, Confucius was loath to discuss supernatural forces and judgment in the afterlife. However, in a Chinese cultural context, devil means white devils, unquote, or foreign devils, unquote. Guailo, G-U-A-I-L-O in Mandarin, G-W-E-I-L-O in Cantonese. This was Xi delivering a powerful statement in code. And again, I suspect this is correct and had much to do with the January 26th takeover of the WIV by the People's Liberation Army after years of funding in the bat-borne coronavirus research at and through that laboratory and elsewhere in and around China, financed by the Pentagon at the same time as the full court press against China was being actualized, both the Hong Kong op, the Xinjiang op, the trade war, sanctioning Chinese officials, and forming international coalitions to oppose China economically and politically. Again, the notion that, well, the Pentagon was just interested in furthering the horizons of scientific knowledge and research, that may have been the sincere motivation of individuals within these Pentagon programs. But again, the notion that the institution that which is perhaps most deeply involved in the anti-China effort, financing research into Chinese bat-borne coronaviruses through the WIV and elsewhere in and around China at the same time as all of these other ops and the full court press against China is being undertaken, suggests very strongly that the goal was to get these viruses researched, get papers published, get the genomes on the public record, which basically would permit the stocking of the magazines in an ammunition sense at Fort Detrick and elsewhere with powerful genetically engineered biological warfare weapons. There also is interesting speculation in this article by Pepe Escobar about Event 201. That was an event in New York City in October of 2019. It was sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, World Economic Forum, had elements of CIA participating and the Johns Hopkins Foundation. As we will see, a major participant in that was a woman named Avril Haines, former deputy director of the CIA and now director of national intelligence under Joe Biden. She was at this, and as Pepe Escobar notes, extra questions linger about the, well, if you will repeat this part here. Adding all that to the fact that coronavirus genome variations in Iran and Italy were sequenced and it was revealed that they do not belong to the variety that infected Wuhan, Prime News media are now openly asking questions and drawing a connection with the shutting down in August of last year of the, quote, unsafe, unquote, military bioweapon lab at Fort Detrick, the military games, and the Wuhan epidemic. That was the closure by CDC in early August of 2019 of the U.S. Army's Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. We've spoken about that in the past. That is at Fort Detrick. And to date, there has been no clear answer about exactly what was going on at that lab. Certain select agents, highly pathogenic agents, were being researched, and that the exact nature of those agents has been blacked out due to national security. Also worth noting is that private contractors were deeply involved in the work, or had been deeply involved in the work, at the USAMRIID. That could be jammed near anyway. It could be old Project Coast veterans, CIA people, who knows? So again, a lot of that work, a lot of that research may have been undertaken by people who were absolutely sincere and altruistic in their orientation. It doesn't take too many bad actors to do this, but the overall vector of Pentagon funding, again, of bat-borne coronavirus research through WIV in and around China at the same time as the Hong Kong op, the Xinjiang op, the trade war, the full court press against China, the recruiting of foreign coalitions in an anti-China coalition, foreign nations, I should say, in an anti-China coalition, suggests that the funding of these viruses was part of the same target, basically. But it was basically targeted at the same point, part of the anti-China full-court press. Hence my appellation of the WIV as the Oswald Institute of Virology. And Pepe Escobar goes on to note, extra questions linger about the opaque event 201 in New York on October 18th, 2019, a rehearsal for a worldwide pandemic caused by a deadly virus, which happened to be coronavirus. This magnificent coincidence happened 1 month before the outbreak in Wuhan. Event 201 was sponsored by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum. Says the CIA, I've never seen any indication that the CIA was involved, although certainly someone who was in all probability deeply involved with CIA, the aforementioned Avril Haines, was there, Bloomberg, John Hopkins Foundation, and the UN. The World Military Games opened in Wuhan on the exact same day. Again, I suspect that the Event 201 was part of a propaganda effort that was not unlike, and we'll probably have to carry this part of the discussion over into our next program, was not unlike the way elements of the World Anti-Communist Conference for Freedom and Liberation, the steering group, which resulted in the formation of the World Anti-Communist League in 1967, in the run-up to President Kennedy's assassination. They were floating the disinformation that Lee Harvey Oswald was, the Soviet Union was training assassins, including American assassins, to commit assassinations in the U.S. Then that particular albatross was laid around Lee Harvey Oswald's neck as part of the painting of Oswald Red. I think that something very similar has been done vis-a-vis the coronavirus op, the COVID op, and I think that Event 201 was part of that. Now, again, one of the players at Event 201 was the aforementioned Avril Haines. And this is an Event 201 player's Avril Haines, centerforhealthsecurity.org. Avril Haines is a senior research scholar at Columbia University, a senior fellow at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory, a member of the National Commission on Military, National, and Public Service, and a principal at West Exec Advisors. During the last administration, Dr. Haines served as assistant to the president and principal deputy national security advisor. She also served as the deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency and legal advisor to the National Security Council. And she was a key player in Event 201, which took place on the same day as the opening of the Military World Games. From the New York Times of Saturday, January 30th of 2021 by Julian E. Barnes and Adam Goldman, intelligence chief picks a former Bush aide to lead briefings for Biden. The new director of national intelligence has been reshaping the office, installing a new official to lead President Biden's daily briefings by tapping a veteran of the last Bush administration, according to current and former government officials. With the arrival of Mr. Biden in the White House, Morgan Muir, M-U-I-R, a longtime CIA analyst, has taken over the briefing job replacing Beth Scammer, President Donald J. Trump's briefer, officials said. Mr. Muir is an experienced briefer. He served as one of President George W. Bush's briefers for a period of 3 years that started well after both the September 11th attacks and the intelligence failures that occurred in the run-up to the Iraq War. Well, that, I'm afraid I don't take a lot of confidence from that. But please note that a key player in Event 201, Avril Haines, Deputy Director of CIA under Obama, and the Director of is now the Director of National Intelligence for Joe Biden. And note the curious timing of Event 201. It was the same day as the opening of the Military World Games. I suspect that was one of the vehicles for vectoring Wuhan and very possibly elsewhere as well. I suspect the U.S. delegation was deliberately vectored, very possibly other countries as well. I'll put links in the written description for the broadcast. There was an article, I believe, by Robert Reich, former Labor Secretary, talking about how the U.S. Military World Games contingent may very well have been linked to outbreaks, in particular in the Pacific Northwest, after they returned to the U.S. Again, I suspect they were deliberately vectored and not by China. And speaking of creating a context in which the COVID-19 op could be propagandized and inserted from a propaganda standpoint, the New York Times of February 27th of 2020 has an op-ed column, "We knew disease X was coming. It's here now," unquote. And guess who wrote this? It's by Peter Daszak. In early 2018, during a meeting at the World Health Organization in Geneva, a group of experts I belong to coined the term Disease X. We were referring to the next pandemic, which would be caused by an unknown novel pathogen that hadn't yet entered the human population. As the world stands today on the edge of the pandemic precipice, it's worth taking a moment to consider whether COVID-19 is the disease our group was warning about. Disease X, we said back then, would likely result from a virus originating in animals and would emerge somewhere on the planet where economic development drives people and wildlife together. Disease X would probably be confused with other diseases early in the outbreak and would spread quickly and silently, exploiting networks of human travel and trade. It would reach multiple countries and thwart containment. Disease X would have a mortality rate higher than a seasonal flu, but would spread as easily as the flu. It would shake financial markets even before it achieved pandemic status. In a nutshell, COVID-19 is disease X. And this from the person whose EcoHealth Alliance is primarily funded by Pentagon and USAID. He's advised by Mr. Franz, the former commander of Fort Detrick, and it is one of the principal funding vehicles for this research into bat-borne coronaviruses through WIV and elsewhere in China. And that, again, at the same time as a panoply of covert and overt operations against China is underway. And again, once those research projects have yielded fruit, once the papers have been published and the genomes of those viruses are on the public record, it's KB bar the door, baby, because they can be synthesized and or mutated at will. And do note again, how Event 201, opening on the same day as the Military World Games, helps to set the, sort of load the propaganda shotgun, so to speak, with double-aught buckshot. Note the presence at Event 201 of Avril Haines, now the Director of National Intelligence under Joe Biden. And note Peter Bashek's role in saying, yep, you know, we thought we knew disease X was coming, and now here it is, just like we thought it would. Well, again, the fact that his organization is primarily funded by Pentagon and USAID, that he is advised by David, by I think it's David Franz, the former commander of Fort Detrick, and that it is financing so much of the research into the bat-borne coronaviruses through WIV, or the Oswald Institute of Virology, as I have termed it, I think is very significant. And an interesting aspect, this is something we will get into in our next program, talking a little bit about some of the Ukrainian-linked elements in the operation, both in Hong Kong and in Xinjiang. Peter Bashek from heritage database. His father is named Bogdan Bashek. He was born March 21st, 1926. Bashek is of Ukrainian heritage. His father would have been 45, but would have been 19 years old in 1945. This may be irrelevant, of course. However, in light of the profound links between the OUNB diaspora before, during, and in particular after World War II, with not only international fascism, but the U.S. intelligence apparatus, and the Republican Party in particular, it is worth pondering that. Is the Bashek family part of the OUNB diaspora? I would note that in the Hong Kong op, which we have spoken about, elements of Prabhu Sector and the Azov Battalion have decamped to Hong Kong. They are networking with the National Endowment of Democracy, finance people like Joshua Wong. And the anthem of the, quote, pro-democracy, unquote, activists in Hong Kong is Glory to Hong Kong, taken from the Glory to Ukraine, Glory to the Heroes salute, which was the salute of the OUNB police and military, and is now the salute adopted by the new, perhaps that belongs in quotes, military and police of Ukraine. Likewise, the main go-to source in vis-a-vis the, quote, genocide, unquote, against the Uyghurs, we've spoken about it at great length, is Adrian Zenz. He is a German-born national, and he, in turn, has his cachet courtesy of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. That is a direct offshoot of the Captive Nations Committee, co-founded by Lev Dobryansky and, the head of the wartime OUNB militia. I've forgotten his name. A brief mnemonic belt here. Yaroslav Stetsko, that's where it is. After an hour straight, you get a little bit of a little bit ditzy here. Anyway, do note that the OUNB milieu figures strongly in the background and the foreground, really, of the covert op in Xinjiang province, Prabhu Sector, and Azov Battalion veterans in Hong Kong, networking with the people there, bequeathing the Glory to Ukraine, Glory to the Heroes, cheer to the Hong Kong National Anthem. So asking the question about whether perhaps in the background of Peter Bashek we once again are seeing manifestations of the OUNB diaspora, which, by the way, was very active in the U.S., well before World War II, as we have looked at in past programs. We will come back to this, however, in our next program, because we are all out of time. This concludes For the Record program number 1184, Harvest Time Part 4, And this concludes For the Record, Better Number 1185. Harvest Time, Part 4, the Oswald Institute of Virology, Part 4, being recorded on May 6th of the year 2021. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.